outside as quickly as possible, and then pulled my t-shirt and shorts on, slipping on my glasses, and raking a comb through my hair. The night moisturizer Travis had brought caught my eye, and I couldn't help but smile. He was thoughtful, and almost nice when he wanted to be. Travis opened the door again. "Come on, Pidge, I'm getting old here." I threw my comb at him and he ducked, shutting the door and laughing to himself all the way to his room. I brushed my teeth and then shuffled down the hall, passing Shepley's bedroom on the way. "Night, Abby," America called from the darkness. "Nightmare." I hesitated before landing two soft knocks on Travis's door. "Come in, Pidge, you don't have to knock." He pulled the door open and I walked in. Seeing his black iron-rod bed parallel to the line of windows on the far side of the room. The walls were bare, except for a lone sombrero above his headboard. I half expected his room to be covered in posters of barely clothed women, but I didn't even see an advertisement for a beer brand. His bed was black, his carpet gray, everything else in the room was white. It looked as if he'd just moved in. "Nice PJs," Travis said, noting my yellow and navy plaid shorts and gray Eastern tee. He sat on his bed and patted the pillow beside him. "Well, come on. I'm not going to bite you." "I'm not afraid of you," I said, walking over to the bed and dropping my biology book beside him. "Do you have a pen?" He nodded to his night table. "Top drawer." I reached across the bed and pulled open the drawer, finding three pens, a pencil, a tube of KY jelly, and a clear glass bowl overflowing with packages of different brands of condoms. Revolted, I grabbed a pen and shoved the drawer shut. "What?" he asked, turning a page of my book. "Did you rob the health clinic?" "No, why?" I pulled the cap off the pen, unable to keep the sickened expression from my face. "Your lifetime supply of condoms? Better safe than sorry, right?" I rolled my eyes. Travis returned to the pages, a wry smile breaking across his lips. He read the notes to me, highlighting the main points while he asked me questions and patiently explained what I didn't comprehend. After an hour, I pulled off my glasses and rubbed my eyes. "I'm beat. I can't memorize one more macromolecule." Travis smiled, closing my book. "All right." I paused, unsure of our sleeping arrangements. Travis left the room and walked down the hall, mumbling something into Shepley's room before turning on the shower. I turned back the covers and then pulled them up to my neck, listening to the high-pitched whine of the water running through the pipes. 10 minutes later, the water shut off, and the floors creaked under Travis's steps. He strolled across the room with a towel wrapped around his hips. He had tattoos on opposite sides of his chest, and black tribal art covering each of his bulging shoulders. On his right arm, the black lines and symbols spanned from his shoulder to his wrist. On the left, the tattoos stopped at his elbow, with one single line of script on the underside of his forearm. I intentionally kept my back to him while he stood in front of his dresser and dropped his towel to slip on a pair of boxers. After flipping off the light, he crawled into the bed beside me. "You're sleeping here too?" I asked, turning to look at him. The full moon outside the windows cast shadows across his face. "Well, yeah, this is my bed." "I know, but I paused. My only other options were the couch or the recliner. Travis grinned and shook his head. "Don't you trust me by now? I'll be on my best behavior, I swear," he said, holding up fingers that I was sure the Boy Scouts of America had never considered using. I didn't argue. I simply turned away and rested my head on the pillow, tucking the covers behind me to create a clear barrier between his body and mine. "Good night, Pigeon," he whispered into my ear. I could feel his minty breath on my cheek, giving rise to goosebumps on every inch of my flesh. Thank God it was dark enough that he couldn't see my embarrassing reaction, or the flush of my cheeks that followed. It seemed like I had just closed my eyes when I heard the alarm. I reached over to turn it off, but wrenched back my hand in horror when I felt warm skin beneath my fingers. I tried to recall where I was. When the answer hit, it mortified me that Travis might have thought I'd done it on purpose. "Travis, your alarm," I whispered. He still didn't move. "Travis," I said, nudging him. When he still didn't stir, I reached across him, fumbling in the dim light until I felt the top of the clock. Unsure of how to turn it off, I smacked the top of it until I hit the snooze button, and then fell against my pillow with a huff. Travis chuckled.
You were awake?
I promised I'd behave. I didn't say anything about letting you lay on me.
I didn't lay on you, I protested. I couldn't reach the clock. That has to be the most annoying alarm I've ever heard. It sounds like a dying animal.
He reached over and flipped a button. You want breakfast? I glared at him and then shook my head.
I'm not hungry.
Well, I am. Why don't you ride with me down the street to the cafe?
I don't think I can handle your lack of driving skills this early in the morning, I said.
I swung my feet over the side of the bed and shoved them into my slippers, shuffling to the door. Where are you going? He asked. To get dressed and go to class? Do you need an itinerary while I'm here? Travis stretched, and then walked over to me, still in his boxers.
Are you always so temperamental?
Or will that taper off once you believe I'm not just creating some elaborate scheme to get in your pants? His hands cupped my shoulders, and I felt his thumbs caress my skin in unison.
I'm not temperamental.
He leaned in close and whispered in my ear. I don't want to sleep with you, Pidge. I like you too much. He walked past me to the bathroom and I stood, stunned. Kara's words replayed in my mind. Travis Maddox slept with everyone. I couldn't help but feel deficient in some way, knowing he had no desire to even try to sleep with me. The door opened again, and America walked through.
Wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey, she smiled, yawning.
You're turning into your mother, Mare, I grumbled, rifling through my suitcase. Ooh, did someone miss some sleep last night?
He barely breathed in my direction, I said acerbically.
A knowing smile brightened America's face.
Oh.
Oh, what?
Nothing, she said, returning to Shepley's room.
Travis was in the kitchen humming a random tune while scrambling eggs. You sure you don't want some? He asked.
I'm sure. Thanks, though.
Shepley and America walked in, and Shepley pulled two plates from the cabinet, holding them out as Travis shoveled a pile of steaming eggs onto each one. Shepley sat at the plates on the bar, and he and America sat together, satisfying the appetite they more than likely worked up the night before.
Don't look at me like that, Shep. I'm sorry, I just don't want to go, America said.
Baby, the house is a date party twice a year, Shepley spoke as he chewed. It's a month away. You'll have plenty of time to find a dress and do all that girl stuff.
I would, Shep. That's really sweet. But I'm not going to know anyone there.
A lot of the girls that come don't know a lot of people there, he said, surprised at the rejection. She slumped in her chair.
The sorority bitches get invited to those things. They'll all know each other. It'll be weird.
Come on, Mare. Don't make me go alone.
Well, maybe you could find someone to take Abby, she said, looking at me and then to Travis.
Travis raised an eyebrow and Shepley shook his head. Trav doesn't go to date parties. It's something you take your girlfriend to, and Travis doesn't, you know. America shrugged. We could set her up with someone. I narrowed my eyes at her. I can hear you, you know. America used the face she knew I couldn't say no to.
Please, Abby. We'll find you a nice guy that's funny and witty, and you know I'll make sure he's hot. I promise you'll have a good time. And who knows? Maybe you'll hit it off.
Travis threw the pan in the sink. I didn't say I wouldn't take her. I rolled my eyes.
Don't do me any favors, Travis.
That's not what I meant, Pidge. Date parties are for the guys with girlfriends, and it's common knowledge that I don't do the girlfriend thing. But I won't have to worry about you expecting an engagement ring afterward.
America jutted her lip out. Pretty please, Abby.
Don't look at me like that, I complained. Travis doesn't want to go. I don't want to go. We won't be much fun.
Travis crossed his arms and leaned against the sink.
I didn't say I didn't want to go. I think it'd be fun if the four of us went, he shrugged.
Everyone's eyes focused on me and I recoiled.
Why don't we hang out here?
America pouted and Shepley leaned forward.
Because I have to go, Abby. I'm a freshman. I have to make sure everything's moving smoothly. Everyone has a beer in their hand, things like that. Travis walked across the kitchen and wrapped his arm around my shoulders, pulling me to his side. Come on, Pidge. Will you go with me? I looked at America, then at Shepley, and finally to Travis. Yes, I sighed. America squealed and hugged me, and then I felt Shepley's hand on my back. Thanks, Abby, Shepley said. Chapter 3. Cheap Shot. Finch took another drag. The smoke flowed from his nose in two thick streams. I angled my face toward the sun as he regaled me with the recent weekend of dancing, booze, and a very persistent new friend. If he's stalking you, then why do you let him buy you drinks? I laughed. It's simple, Abby. I'm broke. I laughed again, and Finch jabbed his elbow into my side when he caught sight of Travis walking toward us. Hey, Travis, Finch lilted, winking at me. Finch, he nodded. He dangled his keys. I'm headed home, Pidge. You need a ride? I was just going in, I said, grinning up at him through my sunglasses. You're not staying with me tonight? He asked. His face was a combination of surprise and disappointment. No, I am. I just had to grab a few things that I forgot. Like what? Well, my razor, for one. What do you care? It's about time you shaved your legs. They've been tearing the hell out of mine, he said with an impish grin. Finch's eyes bulged as he gave me a quick once-over, and I made a face at Travis. That's how rumors get started. I looked at Finch and shook my head. I'm sleeping in his bed. Just sleeping. Right, Finch said with a smug smile. I smacked Finch's arm before yanking the door open and climbing the stairs. By the time I reached the second floor, Travis was beside me. Oh, don't be mad. I was just kidding. Everyone already assumes we're having sex. You're making it worse. Who cares what they think? I do, Travis. I do. I pushed open my door, shoved random items in a small tote, and then stormed out with Travis trailing behind. He chuckled as he took the bag from my hand and I glared at him. It's not funny. Do you want the whole school to think I'm one of your sluts? Travis frowned. No one thinks that. And if they do, they better hope I don't hear about it. He held the door open for me and after walking through, I stopped abruptly in front of him. Whoa, he said, slamming into me. I flipped around. Oh my God. People probably think we're together and you're shamelessly continuing your lifestyle. I must look pathetic, I said, coming to the realization as I spoke. I don't think I should stay with you anymore. We should just stay away from each other in general for a while. I took my bag from him and he snatched it back. No one thinks we're together, Pidge. You don't have to quit talking to me to prove a point. We engaged in a tug of war with the tote, and when he refused to let go, I growled loudly in frustration. Have you ever had a girl that's a friend stay with you? Have you ever given girls rides to and from school? Have you eaten lunch with them every day? No one knows what to think about us, even when we tell them. He walked to the parking lot holding my effects hostage. I'll fix this, okay? I don't want anyone thinking less of you because of me, he said with a troubled expression. His eyes brightened and he smiled. Let me make it up to you. Why don't we go to the Dutch tonight? That's a biker bar, I sneered, watching him fasten my tote to his bike. Okay then, let's go to the club. I'll take you to dinner, and then we can go to the Red Door. My treat. How will going out to dinner and then to a club fix the problem? When people see us out together, it will make it worse. He straddled his bike. Think about it. Me, drunk in a room full of scantily clad women? It won't take long for people to figure out we're not a couple. So what am I supposed to do? Take a guy home from the bar to drive the point home? I didn't say that. No need to get carried away, he said with a frown. I rolled my eyes and climbed onto the seat, wrapping my arms around his middle. Some random girl is going to follow us home from the bar. That's how you're going to make it up to me? You're not jealous, are you, Pigeon? Jealous of what? The STD-infested imbecile you're going to piss off in the morning? Travis laughed and then started his Harley. He flew toward his apartment at twice the speed limit, and I closed my eyes to block out the trees and cars we left behind. After climbing off his bike, I smacked his shoulder. Did you forget I was with you? Are you trying to get me killed? It's hard to forget you're behind me when your thighs are squeezing the life out of me. A smirk came with his next thought.
I couldn't think of a better way to die, actually. There is something very wrong with you.
We had barely made it inside when America shuffled out of Shepley's bedroom.
We were thinking about going out tonight. You guys in?
I looked at Travis and grinned.
We're going to swing by the sushi place before we go to Red.
America's smile spanned from one side of her face to the other.
Shep! She cried, scampering into the bathroom. We're going out tonight.
I was the last one in the shower, so Shepley, America, and Travis were impatiently standing by the door when I stepped out of the bathroom in a black dress and hot pink heels. America whistled.
Hot damn, Mama!
I smiled in appreciation, and Travis held out his hand. Nice legs. Did I mention that it's a magic razor?
I don't think it's the razor.
He smiled, pulling me out the door. We were far too loud and obnoxious in the sushi bar, and had already had a night's worth to drink before we stepped foot in the Red door. Shepley pulled into the parking lot, taking time to find a space.
Sometime tonight, Shep, America muttered.
Hey, I have to find a wide space. I don't want some drunken idiot dinging the paint.
Once we parked, Travis leaned the seat forward and helped me out.
I meant to ask you about your IDs. They're flawless. You didn't get them around here.
Yeah, we've had them for a while. It was necessary. In Wichita, I said.
Necessary? Travis asked.
It's a good thing you have connections, America said. She hiccuped and covered her mouth, giggling.
Dear God, woman, Shepley said, holding America's arm as she awkwardly stepped along the gravel.
I think you're already done for the night.
Travis made a face.
What are you talking about, Mare? What connections?
Abby has some old friends that...
They're fake IDs, Trav, I interrupted. You have to know the right people if you want them done right, right? America purposefully looked away from Travis, and I waited.
Right, he said, extending his hand for mine.
I grabbed three of his fingers and smiled, knowing by his expression that he wasn't satisfied with my answer.
I need another drink, I said as a second attempt to change the subject.
Shots!
America yelled. Shepley rolled his eyes.
Oh yeah, that's what you need, another shot.
Once inside, America immediately pulled me onto the dance floor. Her blonde hair was everywhere, and I laughed at the duck face she made when she moved to music. When the song was over, we joined the boys at the bar. An excessively voluptuous platinum blonde was already at Travis's side, and America's face screwed into revulsion.
It's going to be like this all night, Mare.
Just ignore them, Shepley said, nodding to a small group of girls standing a few feet away. They eyed the blonde, waiting for their turn.
It looks like Vegas threw up on a flock of vultures, America sneered.
Travis lit a cigarette as he ordered two more beers, and the blonde bit her puffy, glossed lip and smiled. The bartender popped the tops open and slid the bottles to Travis. The blonde picked up one of the beers, but Travis pulled it from her hand.
Not yours, he said to her, handing it to me.
My initial thought was to toss the bottle in the trash, but the woman looked so offended, I smiled and took a drink. She walked off in a huff, and I chuckled that Travis didn't seem to notice.
Like I would buy a beer for some chick at a bar, he said, shaking his head.
I held up my beer, and he pulled up one side of his mouth into a half smile.
You're different.
I clinked my bottle against his. To being the only girl a guy with no standards doesn't want to sleep with, I said, taking a swig.
Are you serious?
He asked, pulling the bottle from my mouth. When I didn't recant, he leaned toward me.
First of all, I have standards. I've never been with an ugly woman. Ever. Second of all, I wanted to sleep with you. I thought about throwing you over my couch 50 different ways, but I haven't because I don't see you that way anymore. It's not that I'm not attracted to you. I just think you're better than that.
I couldn't hold back the smug smile that crept across my face.
You think I'm too good for you?
He sneered at my second insult.
I can't think of a single guy I know that's good enough for you.
The smugness melted away, replaced with a touched, appreciative smile.
Thanks, Trav, I said, setting my empty bottle on the bar.
Travis pulled on my hand.
Come on, he said, tugging me through the crowd to the dance floor.
I've had a lot to drink. I'm going to fall.
Travis smiled and pulled me to him, grabbing my hips.
Shut up and dance.
America and Shepley appeared beside us. Shepley moved like he'd been watching too many Usher videos. Travis had me near panic with the way he pressed against me. If he used any of those moves on the couch, I could see why so many girls chanced humiliation in the morning. He cinched his hands around my hips, and I noticed that his expression was different, almost serious. I ran my hands over his flawless chest and six-pack as they stretched and tensed under his tight shirt to the music. I turned my back to him, smiling when he wrapped his arms around my waist. Coupled with the alcohol in my system, when he pulled my body against his, things came to mind that were anything but friendly. The next song bled into the one we were dancing to, and Travis showed no signs of wanting to return to the bar. The sweat beaded on the back of my neck, and the multicolored strobe lights made me feel a bit dizzy. I closed my eyes and leaned my head against his shoulder. He grabbed my hands and pulled them up and around his neck. His hands ran down my arms, down my ribs, finally returning to my hips. When I felt his lips, and then his tongue against my neck, I pulled away from him. He chuckled, looking a bit surprised. What, Pidge? My temper flared, making the sharp words I wanted to say stick in my throat. I retreated to the bar and ordered another Corona. Travis took the stool beside me, holding up his finger to order one for himself. As soon as the bartender set the bottle in front of me, I tipped it up and drank half the contents before slamming it to the bar.
You think that is going to change anyone's mind about us?
I said, pulling my hair to the side, covering the spot he kissed. He laughed once.
I don't give a damn what they think about us.
I shot him a dirty look and then turned to face forward.
Pigeon, he said, touching my arm.
I pulled away from him. Don't. I could never get drunk enough to let you get me on that couch. His face twisted in anger, but before he could say anything, a dark-haired stunner with pouty lips, enormous blue eyes, and far too much cleavage approached him.
Well, if it isn't Travis Maddox, she said, bouncing in all the right places.
He took a drink and then his eyes locked on mine. Hey, Megan.
Introduce me to your girlfriend, she smiled.
I rolled my eyes. Travis tipped his head back to finish his beer, and then slid his empty bottle down the bar. Everyone waiting to order watched it until it fell into the trash can at the end.
She's not my girlfriend.
He grabbed Megan's hand and she happily traipsed behind him to the dance floor. He all but mauled her for one song, and then another, and another. They were causing a scene with the way she let him grope her. And when he bent her over, I turned my back to them.
You look pissed, a man said as he sat next to me. Is that your boyfriend out there?
No, he's just a friend, I grumbled.
Well, that's good. That could have been pretty awkward for you if he was.
He faced the dance floor, shaking his head at the spectacle.
Tell me about it, I said, drinking the last of my beer.
I barely tasted the last two I had put away, and my teeth were numb.
Would you like another one? He asked. I looked over at him and he smiled. I'm Ethan.
Abby, I said, taking his outstretched hand.
He held up two fingers to the bartender and I smiled.
Thanks. So, you live here? He asked.
In Morgan Hall at Eastern?
I have an apartment in Hindley.
You go to state? I asked.
What is that, like an hour away? What are you doing over here?
I graduated last May. My little sister goes to Eastern. I'm staying with her this week while I apply for jobs.
Uh-oh, living in the real world, huh?
Ethan laughed.
And it's everything they say it is.
I pulled the gloss out of my pocket and smeared it across my lips, using the mirror lining the wall behind the bar.
That's a nice shade, he said, watching me press my lips together.
I smiled, feeling the anger at Travis and the heaviness of the alcohol.
Maybe you can try it on later.
Ethan's eyes brightened as I leaned in closer, and I smiled when he touched my knee. He pulled back his hand when Travis stepped between us.
You ready, Pidge?
I'm talking, Travis, I said, moving him back.
His shirt was damp from the circus on the dance floor, and I made a show of wiping my hand on my skirt. Travis made a face.
Do you even know this guy?
This is Ethan, I said, sending my new friend the best flirty smile I could manage. He winked at me, and then looked at Travis extending his hand.
Nice to meet you.
Travis watched me expectantly until I finally gave in, waving my hand in his general direction.
Ethan, this is Travis, I muttered.
Travis Maddox, he said, staring at Ethan's hand as if he wanted to rip it off. Ethan's eyes grew wide, and he awkwardly pulled back his hand.
Travis Maddox? Eastern's Travis Maddox?
I rested my cheek on my fist, dreading the inevitable testosterone-fueled story-swapping that would soon ensue. Travis stretched his arm behind me to grip the bar.
Yeah? What of it?
I saw you fight Sean Smith last year, man. I thought I was about to witness someone's death.
Travis glowered down at him.
You want to see it again?
Ethan laughed once, his eyes darting back and forth between us. When he realized Travis was serious, he smiled at me apologetically and left.
Are you ready now? He snapped.
You are a complete asshole. You know that?
I've been called worse, he said, helping me off the stool.
We followed America and Shepley to the car, and when Travis tried to grab my hand to lead me across the parking lot, I yanked it away. He wheeled around and I jerked to a stop, leaning back when he came within a few inches of my face.
I should just kiss you and get it over with, he yelled.
You're being ridiculous. I kissed your neck, so what?
I could smell the beer and cigarettes on his breath and I pushed him away.
I'm not your fuck buddy, Travis.
He shook his head in disbelief.
I never said you were. You're around me 24/7, you sleep in my bed, but half the time you act like you don't want to be seen with me.
I came here with you.
I have never treated you with anything but respect, Pidge.
I stood my ground.
No, you just treat me like your property. You had no right to run Ethan off like that.
Do you know who Ethan is?
He asked. When I shook my head, he leaned in closer.
I do. He was arrested last year for sexual battery, but the charges were dropped.
I crossed my arms.
Oh, so you have something in common.
Travis's eyes narrowed, and the muscles in his jaws twitched under his skin.
Are you calling me a rapist? He said in a cold, low tone.
I pressed my lips together, even angrier that he was right. I had taken it too far.
No, I'm just pissed at you. I've been drinking, all right? Your skin was 3 inches from my face and you're beautiful and you smell fucking awesome when you sweat. I kiss you, I'm sorry. Get over yourself.
His excuse made the corners of my mouth turn up.
You think I'm beautiful?
He frowned with disgust.
You're gorgeous and you know it. What are you smiling about?
I tried to quell my amusement to no avail.
Nothing.
Let's go. Travis laughed once and shook his head.
What? You?
You're a pain in my ass, he yelled, glaring at me.
I couldn't stop smiling, and after a few seconds, Travis's mouth turned up. He shook his head again, and then hooked his arm around my neck.
You're making me crazy. You know that, right?
At the apartment, we all stumbled through the door. I made a beeline for the bathroom to wash the smoke out of my hair. When I stepped out of the shower, I saw that Travis had brought me one of his t-shirts and a pair of his boxers to change into. The shirt swallowed me, and the boxers disappeared under the shirt. I crashed into the bed and sighed, still smiling at what he'd said in the parking lot. Travis stared at me for a moment, and I felt a twinge in my chest. I had an almost ravenous urge to grab his face and plant my mouth on his, but I fought against the alcohol and hormones raging through my bloodstream.
Night, Pidge, he whispered, turning over.
I fidgeted, not yet ready to sleep.
Trav,
I said, leaning up to rest my chin on his shoulder.
Yeah?
I know I'm drunk, and we just got into a ginormous fight over this, but
I'm not having sex with you, so quit asking, he said, his back still turned to me.
What? No,
I cried. Travis laughed and turned, looking at me with a soft expression.
What, Pigeon?
I sighed. This, I said, laying my head on his chest and stretching my arm across his middle, snuggling as close to him as I could. He stiffened and held his hands up, as if he didn't know how to react.
You are drunk.
I know, I said, too intoxicated to be embarrassed. He relaxed one hand against my back, and the other on my wet hair, and then pressed his lips to my forehead.
You are the most confusing woman I've ever met.
It's the least you can do after scaring off the only guy that approached me tonight.
You mean Ethan the rapist?
Yeah, I owe you for that one.
Never mind,
I said, feeling the beginning of a rejection coming on. He grabbed my arm and held it on his stomach to keep me from pulling away.
No, I'm serious. You need to be more careful. If I wasn't there, I don't even want to think about it.
And now you expect me to apologize for running him off?
I don't want you to apologize. It's not even about that.
And what's it about? He asked, searching my eyes for something. His face was just a few inches from mine, and I could feel his breath on my lips.
I frowned. I'm drunk, Travis. It's the only excuse I have.
You just want me to hold you until you fall asleep?
I didn't answer.
He shifted to look straight into my eyes.
I should say no to prove a point, he said, his eyebrows pulling together. But I would hate myself later if I said no and you never asked me again.
I nestled my cheek against his chest, and he tightened his arms, sighing.
You don't need an excuse, pigeon. All you have to do is ask.
I cringed at the sunlight pouring through the window, and the alarm blaring into my ear. Travis was still asleep, surrounding me with both his arms and his legs. I maneuvered an arm free to reach over and pound the snooze button. Wiping my face, I looked over at him, sleeping soundly 2 inches from my face.
Oh my God,
I whispered, wondering how we'd managed to become so tangled. I took a deep breath and held it as I worked to free myself from his grip.
Stop it, Pidge, I'm sleeping,
he mumbled, squeezing me against him. After several attempts, I finally slid from his grip and sat on the edge of the bed, looking back at his half-naked body draped in covers. I watched him for a moment and sighed. The lines were becoming blurred, and it was my fault. His hand slid across the sheets, and he touched my fingers.
What's wrong, Pigeon? He said, his eyes barely open.
I'm going to get a glass of water. You want anything? Travis shook his head and closed his eyes, his cheek flat against the mattress.
Morning, Abby, Shepley said from the recliner when I rounded the corner.
Where's Mare?
Still sleeping. What are you doing up so early?
He asked, looking at the clock.
The alarm went off, but I always wake up early after I drink. It's a curse.
Me too, he nodded.
You better get Mare up. We have class in an hour, I said, turning on the tap and leaning over to take a sip.
Shepley nodded.
I was just going to let her sleep.
Don't do that. She'll be mad if she misses.
Oh, he said, standing up. Better wake her then. He wheeled around. Hey, Abby.
Yeah?
I don't know what's going on with you and Travis, but I know that he's going to do something stupid to piss you off. It's a tic he has. He doesn't get close with anyone very often. And for whatever reason, he's let you in. But you have to overlook his demons. It's the only way he'll know.
Know what? I asked, raising an eyebrow at his melodramatic speech.
If you'll climb over the wall,
he answered simply.
I shook my head and chuckled.
Whatever you say, Shep. Shepley shrugged and then disappeared into his bedroom. I heard soft murmurs, a protesting groan, and then America's sweet giggling. I swirled the oatmeal around in my bowl and squeezed the chocolate syrup in as I stirred.
That's sick, Pidge, Travis said, wearing only a pair of green plaid boxers.
He rubbed his eyes and pulled a box of cereal from the cabinet.
Good morning to you, too, I said, snapping the cap on the bottle. I hear your birthday's coming up. Last stand of your teenage years.
He grinned, his eyes puffy and red.
Yeah, I'm not a big birthday person. I think Mare is going to take me to dinner or something.
I smiled.
You can come if you want.
All right, he shrugged. It's a week from Sunday?
Yes. When's your birthday?
He poured the milk, dunking the flakes with his spoon. Not till April. April 1st.
Shut up.
No, I'm serious, he said, chewing.
Your birthday is on April Fool's?
I asked again, raising an eyebrow. He laughed.
Yes! You're gonna be late. I better get dressed.
I'm riding with Mare. I could tell he was being intentionally cool when he shrugged.
Whatever,
he said, turning his back to me to finish his cereal.
Chapter 4. The Bet.
He's definitely staring at you,
America whispered, leaning back to peek across the room.
Stop looking, dummy. He's going to see you.
America smiled and waved.
He's already seen me. He's still staring.
I hesitated for a moment and then finally worked up enough courage to look in his direction. Parker was looking right at me, grinning. I returned his smile and then pretended to type something on my laptop.
Is he still staring? I murmured.
Yep, she giggled. After class, Parker stopped me in the hall.
Don't forget about the party this weekend.
I won't, I said, trying not to bat my eyes or do anything else ridiculous. America and I made our way across the lawn to the cafeteria to meet Travis and Shepley for lunch. She was still laughing about Parker's behavior when Shepley and Travis approached.
Hey, baby,
America said, kissing her boyfriend square on the mouth.
What's so funny?
Shepley asked.
Oh, a guy in class was staring at Abby all hour. It was adorable.
As long as he was staring at Abby, Shepley winked.
Who was it?
Travis grimaced. I readjusted my backpack, prompting Travis to slide it off my arms and hold it. I shook my head.
Mare's imagining things.
Abby, you big fat liar. It was Parker Hayes, and he was being so obvious. The guy was practically drooling.
Travis's expression twisted into disgust.
Parker Hayes?
Shepley pulled on America's hand.
We're headed to lunch. Will you be enjoying the fine cafeteria cuisine this afternoon?
America kissed him again in answer, and Travis and I followed behind. I sat my tray between America and Finch, but Travis didn't sit in his normal seat across from me. Instead, he sat a few seats down. It was then that I realized he hadn't said much during our walk to the cafeteria.
Are you okay, Trav?
I asked.
Me? Fine, why? He said, smoothing the features of his face.
You've just been quiet. Several members of the football team approached the table and sat down, laughing loudly. Travis looked a bit annoyed as he rolled his food around on his plate. Chris Jenks tossed a French fry onto Travis's plate.
What's up, Trav? I heard you bagged Tina Martin. She's been raking your name through the mud today.
Shut up, Jenks, Travis said, keeping his eyes on his food.
I leaned forward so the brawny giant sitting in front of Travis could experience the full force of my glare.
Knock it off, Chris.
Travis's eyes bored into mine.
I can take care of myself, Abby.
I'm sorry, I
don't want you to be sorry. I don't want you to be anything,
he snapped, shoving away from the table and storming out the door. Finch looked over at me with raised eyebrows.
Whoa, what was that about?
I stabbed a tater tot with my fork and puffed.
I don't know.
Shepley patted my back.
It's nothing you did, Abby.
He just has stuff going on, America added.
What kind of stuff? I asked.
Shepley shrugged and turned his attention to his plate.
You should know by now that it takes patience and a forgiving attitude to be friends with Travis. He's his own universe.
I shook my head. That's the Travis everyone else sees, not the Travis I know.
Shepley leaned forward.
There's no difference. You just have to ride the wave.
After class, I rode with America to the apartment to find Travis's motorcycle gone. I went into his room and curled into a ball on his bed, resting my head on my arm. Travis had been fine that morning. As much time as we had spent together, I couldn't believe I didn't see that something had been bothering him. Not only that, it disturbed me that America seemed to know what was going on and I didn't. My breathing evened out and my eyes grew heavy. It wasn't long before I fell asleep. When my eyes opened again, the night sky had darkened the window. Muffled voices filtered down the hall from the living room, including Travis's deep tone. I crept down the hall, and then froze when I heard my name.
Abby gets it, Trav. Don't beat yourself up, Shepley said.
You're already going to the date party. What's the harm in asking her out?
America asked. I stiffened, waiting for his response.
I don't want to date her. I just want to be around her. She's different.
Different how?
America asked, sounding irritated.
She doesn't put up with my bullshit. It's refreshing. You said it yourself, Mayor. I'm not her type. It's just not like that with us.
You're closer to her type than you know, America said.
I backed up as quietly as I could, and when the wooden boards creaked beneath my bare feet, I reached over to pull Travis's bedroom door shut, and then walked down the hall.
Hey, Abby, America said with a grin. How was your nap?
I was out for 5 hours. That's closer to a coma than a nap.
Travis stared at me for a moment, and when I smiled at him, he walked straight toward me, grabbed my hand, and pulled me down the hall to his bedroom. He shut the door and I felt my heart pounding in my chest, bracing for him to say something else to crush my ego. His eyebrows pulled in.
I'm so sorry, Pidge. I was an asshole to you earlier.
I relaxed a bit, seeing the remorse in his eyes. I didn't know you were mad at me.
I wasn't mad at you. I just have a bad habit of lashing out at those I care about. It's a piss-poor excuse, I know, but I am sorry, he said, enveloping me in his arms.
I nestled my cheek against his chest, settling in. What were you mad about?
It's not important. The only thing I'm worried about is you.
I leaned back to look up at him. I can handle your temper tantrums. His eyes scanned my face for several moments, before a small smile spread across his lips.
I don't know why you put up with me, and I don't know what I'd do if you didn't.
I could smell the mixture of cigarettes and mint on his breath, and I looked at his lips, my body reacting to how close we were. Travis's expression changed and his breathing staggered. He had noticed, too. He leaned in infinitesimally, and then we both jumped when his cell phone rang. He sighed, pulling it from his pocket.
Yeah? Hoffman? Jesus. All right.
That'll be an easy grand. Jefferson?
He looked at me and winked.
We'll be there.
He hung up and took my hand.
Come with me.
He pulled me down the hall.
That was Adam, he said to Shepley. Brady Hoffman will be at Jefferson in 90 minutes.
Shepley nodded and stood up, digging his cell phone from his pocket. He quickly tapped in the information, sending exclusive text invitations to those who knew about the circle. Those 10 or so members would text 10 members on their list, and so on, until every member knew exactly where the floating fight ring would be held.
Here we go, America said, smiling. We'd better freshen up.
The air in the apartment was tense and buoyant at the same time. Travis seemed the least affected, slipping on his boots and a white tank top as if he were leaving to run an errand. America led me down the hall to Travis's bedroom and frowned.
You have to change, Abby. You can't wear that to the fight.
I wore a freaking cardigan last time and you didn't say anything, I protested.
I didn't think you'd go last time. Here.
She threw clothes at me. Put this on.
I am not wearing this.
Let's go, Shepley called from the living room.
Hurry up, America snapped, running into Shepley's room. I pulled on the deep-cut yellow halter top and tight, low-rise jeans America had thrown at me, and then slipped on a pair of heels, raking a brush through my hair as I shuffled down the hall. America came out of her room with a short green baby doll dress and matching heels, and when we rounded the corner, Travis and Shepley were standing at the door. Travis's mouth fell open.
Oh, hell no. Are you trying to get me killed? You've got to change, Pidge.
What? I asked, looking down. America grabbed her hips.
She looks cute, Trav. Leave her alone.
Travis took my hand and led me down the hall.
Get a t-shirt on and some sneakers. Something comfortable.
What? Why?
Because I'll be more worried about who's looking at your tits in that shirt instead of Hoffman, he said, stopping at his door.
I thought you said you didn't give a damn what anyone else thought.
That's a different scenario, Pigeon.
Travis looked down at my chest and then up at me.
You can't wear this to the fight, so please just change,
he stuttered, shoving me into the room and shutting me in.
Travis! I yelled.
I kicked off my heels and shoved my feet into my Converse. Then I wiggled out of my halter top, throwing it across the room. The first cotton shirt that touched my hands, I yanked over my head, and then ran down the hall, standing in the doorway.
Better?
I huffed, pulling my hair into a ponytail.
Yes, Travis said, relieved. Let's go.
We raced to the parking lot. I jumped on the back of Travis's motorcycle as he ripped the engine and peeled out, flying down the road to the college. I squeezed his middle in anticipation. The rushing to get out the door sent adrenaline surging through my veins. Travis drove over the curb, parking his motorcycle in the shadows behind the Jefferson Liberal Arts building. He pushed his sunglasses to the top of his head and then grabbed my hand, smiling as we snuck to the back of the building. He stopped at an open window near the ground. My eyes widened with realization.
You're joking.
Travis smiled.
This is the VIP entrance.
You should see how everyone else gets in.
I shook my head as he worked his legs through and then disappeared. I leaned down and called into oblivion.
Travis! Down here, Pidge! Just come in feet first, I'll catch you.
You're out of your damn mind if you think I'm jumping into the dark.
I'll catch you, I promise. Now get your ass in here.
I sighed, touching my forehead with my hand. This is insane. I sat down, and then scooted forward until half of my body was dangling in the dark. I turned onto my stomach and pointed my toes, feeling for the floor. I waited for my feet to touch Travis's hand, but I lost my grip, squealing when I fell backward. A pair of hands grabbed me, and I heard Travis's voice in the darkness.
You fall like a girl, he chuckled.
He lowered my feet to the ground and then pulled me deeper into the blackness. After a dozen steps, I could hear the familiar yelling of numbers and names, and then the room illuminated. A lantern sat in the corner, lighting the room just enough that I could make out Travis's face.
What are we doing?
Waiting. Adam has to run through his spiel before I go in. I fidgeted. Should I wait here or should I go in? Where do I go when the fight starts? Where's Shep and Mare? They went in the other way.
Just follow me out. I'm not sending you into that shark pit without me. Stay by Adam. He'll keep you from getting crushed. I can't look out for you and throw punches at the same time.
Crushed?
There's going to be more people here tonight. Brady Hoffman is from state. They have their own circle there. It will be our crowd and their crowd, so the room's gonna get crazy.
Are you nervous?
I asked. He smiled, looking down at me.
No.
You look a little nervous, though.
Maybe, I admitted.
If it'll make you feel better,
I won't let him touch me. I won't even let him get one in for his fans.
How are you going to manage that?
He shrugged.
I usually let them get one in, to make it look fair.
You let people hit you?
How much fun would it be if I just massacred someone and they never got a punch in? It's not good for business.
No one would bet against me.
What a load of crap, I said, crossing my arms.
Travis raised an eyebrow.
You think I'm yanking your chain?
I find it hard to believe that you only get hit when you let them hit you.
Would you like to make a wager on that, Abby Abernathy? He smiled, his eyes animated.
I smiled. I'll take that bet. I think he'll get one in on you.
And if he doesn't, what do I win? He asked.
I shrugged as the yelling on the other side of the wall grew to a roar. Adam greeted the crowd and then went over the rules. Travis's mouth stretched into a wide grin.
If you win, I'll go without sex for a month.
I raised an eyebrow and he smiled again.
But if I win, you have to stay with me for a month.
What? I'm staying with you anyway. What kind of bet is that? I shrieked over the noise.
They fixed the boilers at Morgan today, Travis said with a smile and a wink. A smirk softened my expression as Adam called Travis's name.
Anything is worth watching you try abstinence for a change.
Travis kissed my cheek and then walked out, standing tall. I followed behind, and when we crossed into the next room, I was startled by the number of people packed together in the small space. It was standing room only, but the shoving and shouting only amplified once we entered the room. Travis nodded in my direction, and then Adam's hand was on my shoulders, pulling me to the side. I leaned into Adam's ear.
I've got two on Travis.
I said. Adam's eyebrows shot up as he watched me pull two Benjamins from my pocket. He held out his palm and I slapped the bills into his hand.
You're not the Pollyanna I thought you were, he said, giving me a once-over.
Brady was at least a head taller than Travis, and I gulped when I saw them stand toe-to-toe. Brady was massive, twice Travis's size, and solid muscle. I couldn't see Travis's expression, but it was obvious that Brady was out for blood. Adam pressed his lips against my ear. You might want to plug your ears, kiddo. I cupped my hands on each side of my head, and Adam sounded the horn. Instead of attacking, Travis took a few steps back. Brady swung, and Travis dodged to the right. Brady swung again, and Travis ducked and sidestepped to the other side.
What the hell? This ain't a boxing match, Travis! Adam yelled.
Travis landed a punch to Brady's nose. The volume in the basement was deafening then. Travis sank a left hook into Brady's jaw, and my hands flew over my mouth when Brady attempted a few more punches, each one catching air. Brady fell against his entourage when Travis elbowed him in the face. Just when I thought it was almost over, Brady came out swinging again, throw after throw. Brady couldn't seem to keep up. Both men were covered in sweat, and I gasped when Brady missed another punch, slamming his hand into a cement pillar. When he folded over, cradling his fist beneath him, Travis went in for the kill. He was relentless, first bringing his knee to Brady's face, and then pummeling him over and over until Brady stumbled and hit the ground. The noise level boomed as Adam left my side to throw the red square on Brady's bloodied face. Travis disappeared behind his fans, and I pressed my back against the wall, feeling my way to the doorway we came in. Reaching the lantern was a huge relief. I worried about being knocked down and trampled. My eyes focused on the doorway, waiting for the crowd to spill into the small room. After several minutes and no sign of Travis, I prepared to retrace my steps to the window. With the number of people trying to leave at once, it wasn't safe enough to chance wandering around. Just as I stepped into the darkness, footsteps crunched against the loose concrete on the floor. Travis was looking for me in a panic.
Pigeon!
I'm here! I called out, running into his arms. Travis looked down and frowned. You scared the shit out of me. I almost had to start another fight just to get to you. I finally get here and you're gone. I'm glad you're back. I wasn't looking forward to trying to find my way in the dark. All worry left his face, and he smiled widely. I believe you lost the bet. Adam stomped in, looked at me, and then glowered at Travis. We need to talk. Travis winked at me. Stay put. I'll be right back. They disappeared into the darkness. Adam raised his voice a few times, but I couldn't make out what he was saying. Travis returned, shoving a wad of cash into his pocket, and then he offered a half-smile.
You're going to need more clothes.
You're really going to make me stay with you for a month?
Would you have made me go without sex for a month?
I laughed, knowing I would.
We better stop at Morgan.
Travis beamed.
This should be interesting.
As Adam passed, he slammed my winnings into my palm and then merged into the dissipating mob. Travis raised an eyebrow.
You put in?
I smiled and shrugged. I thought I should get the full experience. He led me to the window and then crawled out, turning to help me up and out to the fresh night air. The crickets were chirping in the shadows, stopping just long enough to let us pass. The monkey grass that lined the sidewalk weaved in the gentle breeze, reminding me of the sound the ocean makes when I wasn't quite close enough to hear the waves breaking. It wasn't too hot or too cold. It was the perfect night. Why on earth would you want me to stay with you anyway? I asked. Travis shrugged, shoving his hands in his pockets.
I don't know. Everything's better when you're around.
The warm and fuzzies I felt from his words quickly faded with the sight of the red, blotchy mess on his shirt.
Ew. You have blood all over you.
Travis looked down with indifference, and then opened the door, gesturing for me to walk in. I breezed by Kara, who studied on her bed, held captive by the textbooks that surrounded her.
The boilers were fixed this morning, she said.
I heard, I said, rifling through my closet.
Hi.
Travis said to Kara.
Kara's face twisted as she scanned Travis's sweaty, bloody form.
Travis, this is my roommate, Kara Lynn.
Kara?
Travis Maddox.
Nice to meet you,
Kara said, pushing her glasses up the bridge of her nose. She glanced at my bulging bags. Are you moving out?
Nope. Lost a bet.
Travis burst into laughter, grabbing my bags.
Ready?
Yeah. How am I going to get all of this to your apartment? We're on your bike. Travis smiled and pulled out his cell phone. He carried my luggage to the street, and minutes later, Shepley's black vintage Charger pulled up. The passenger side window rolled down and America poked her head out.
Hey, Chickie.
Hey, yourself. The boilers are working again at Morgan. Are you still staying with Shep? She winked.
Yeah, I thought I'd stay tonight.
I heard you lost a bet. Before I could speak, Travis shut the trunk, and Shep sped off, with America squealing as she fell back into the car. We walked to his Harley, and he waited for me to settle into my seat. When I wrapped my arms around him, he rested his hand on mine.
I'm glad you were there tonight, Pidge. I've never had so much fun at a fight in my life.
I perched my chin on his shoulder and smiled.
That was because you were trying to win our bet.
He angled his neck to face me.
Damn right I was.
There was no amusement in his eyes. He was serious, and he wanted me to see it. My eyebrows shot up.
Is that why you were in such a bad mood today? Because you knew they'd fixed the boilers, and I would be leaving tonight?
Travis didn't answer. He only smiled as he started his motorcycle. The drive to the apartment was uncharacteristically slow. At every stoplight, Travis would either cover my hands with his, or he would rest his hand on my knee.
The lines were blurring again, and I wondered how we would spend a month together and not ruin everything.
The loose ends of our friendship were tangling in a way I never imagined. When we arrived in the apartment parking lot, Shepley's Charger sat in its usual spot. I stood in front of the steps.
I always hate it when they've been home for a while. I feel like we're going to interrupt them.
Get used to it. This is your place for the next 4 weeks.
Travis smiled and turned his back to me. Get on.
What?
I smiled.
Come on, I'll carry you up.
I giggled and hopped onto his back, interlacing my fingers on his chest as he ran up the stairs. America opened the door before we made it to the top and smiled.
Look at you two. If I didn't know better...
Knock it off, Mare,
Shepley said from the couch. America smiled as if she'd said too much, and then opened the door wide so we could both fit through. Travis collapsed against the recliner. I squealed when he leaned against me.
You're awfully cheerful this evening, Trav. What gives? America prompted.
I leaned over to see his face.
I'd never seen him so pleased.
I just want a shitload of money, Mare. Twice as much as I thought I would. What's not to be happy about?
America grinned.
No, it's something else, she said, watching Travis's hand as he patted my thigh.
She was right. He was different. There was an air of peace around him, almost as if some kind of new contentment had settled into his soul.
Mare,
Shepley warned.
Fine, I'll talk about something else. Didn't Parker invite you to the Sig Tau party this weekend, Abby?
Travis's smile vanished and he turned to me, waiting for an answer.
Yeah? Aren't we all going?
I'll be there,
Shepley said, distracted by the television.
And that means I'm going, America said, looking expectantly at Travis.
Travis watched me for a moment, and then nudged my leg.
Is he picking you up or something?
No, he just told me about the party.
America's mouth spread into a mischievous grin, almost bobbing in anticipation.
He said he'd see you there, though. He's really cute.
Travis shot an irritated glance at America's direction, and then looked to me.
Are you going?
I told him I would.
I shrugged.
Are you going?
Yeah,
he said without hesitation. Shepley's attention turned to Travis then.
You said last week you weren't.
I changed my mind, Shep. What's the problem?
Nothing, he grumbled, retreating to his bedroom. America frowned at Travis.
You know what the problem is,
she said.
Why don't you quit driving him crazy and just get it over with?
She joined Shepley in his room, and their voices were reduced to murmuring behind the closed door.
"Well, I'm glad everyone else knows," I said.
Travis stood up.
"I'm going to take a quick shower."
"Is there something going on with them?" I asked.
"No, he's just